This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and on a very chilly morning, ladies, yes, I'm joined by Gemina Romanowski and Pamela Day, or Pam. How are you? Good morning. Are you warm?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for allowing the Buffalo Chamber of Commerce to join you this morning.
Thank you, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say, because the Chamber does seem to have been more active recently. What's been going on?
Well, I can speak from a board member who's been there for all of the restructuring.
And you're the current president, right?
I am the current president, yes. Official president as well. When the Chamber, I think we can all say, imploded, I mean, it's public knowledge, it imploded. I believe back in 2018, 2019, the Chamber was revitalized in March of 2020. So COVID had not quite hit Buffalo yet, but it was on the radar. And we had a completely new board, and it took us probably about a year with a lot of board members coming off and coming on. I'm not saying that those people left for legitimate reasons or for personal reasons. It wasn't like it was the direction of the Chamber that they left for the most part, but it was, it took us about a year to figure out where the Chamber was and what we needed to do. I think a lot of us, including myself, felt that, oh, you know, the Chamber just shut its doors for a little bit. Everything was fine. You know, let's go ahead and just do what we've normally done. And then it took about a year to realize, no, some long-term restructuring needed to occur. So that's what we've been doing for the last year and a half. And like you said, the Chamber was quiet in the community. We weren't taking member dues for a year, which, you know, is the lifeblood of a chamber. Simply because we didn't have anyone in the office, we were working on the Orbis Advantage study that we partnered with Joko First on. And we were trying to see if there was a long-term sustainable future for both of our organizations.
What was that Orbis Advantage study?
So, obviously, for people who are aware of what goes on in our community, there was a lot of duplication of services between us, Joko First, the Buffalo Downtown Association, even sometimes the Johnson County Tourism Association. And so the Orbis Advantage Study, I was on the periphery on this, was done by a previous president. It was a chance to get a objective, data-driven study on the missions, advantages, disadvantages, potential opportunities, weaknesses, and whatnot between both organizations, and see if there was an overall solution to move forward in the future with maybe less duplication of services. They presented a wonderful data-driven report. This was stage one. And some ideas as to which direction the Chamber and Joko First could go. One of the solutions that they presented was that we stay separate, but get more of a cohesive administrative side to both our organizations so that there's more communication, less backsliding when board members come on and off, and get trained staff that has a little bit more knowledge of economic development and, you know, for both of our organizations. And then the second option was that we created a 501c6 structure where there would be an overall director, and then they would contract out with Joko First and the Chamber to do what they're supposed to be doing. There was a lot more involved with that. That was the preliminary report. The next stage was that Joko First and the Chamber would decide which scenario they liked the best, and then stage two was they would flesh out one of those two proposals, and then stage three was implementation. After the first study, the Chamber really liked what they saw, but again, it required, it required cooperation from both entities. And Joko First decided that the data was great and knowledgeable, but maybe not quite the direction that they wanted to go currently. Which is fine, you know. But so they have decided to go into the economic development grant, maybe get some more data, which is understandable because so much has changed from COVID, not just locally, not even statewide, but nationally. You know, you have your housing shortages, you have your inflations, you have your job retentions or lack of jobs. And then you have, of course, your payment structure for your employees. Like, there's so much going on globally that it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen long term in the next couple of years. So we are still communicating with JOCO First. We're still communicating with JCTA. I think it's probably been the best relationship we've had in a really long time. We've all realized that we can't continue being islands, you know, or just planets orbiting each other. You know, we gotta, you know, have some communication, have some pathways that are walked on regularly. So we, after the holidays, because we have so much going on holiday-wise, which we're really excited to share with you, that we'll look at what Orbis Advantage has proposed for some changes for specifically the chamber, and we're going to be looking at that after the holidays. So we're still going to take some of the results of the study, continue communications, any data or information that JOCO First needs for their grant proposal, we're going to be happy to help with them. And we're just, you know, continue to repair relationships in this community that have, you know, been burned or weakened over the turmoil of the last 4 years with the chamber.
Well, I think it goes back longer than that, doesn't it? I mean, it's been...
Yes.
The chamber has a very beleaguered history for some years. What do you think is the root cause of that? And I only ask that so that history does not repeat, because there does seem to have been some difficulties that have repeated, and they seem to have probably been at a leadership level. And so what is this new iteration of the chamber, bearing in mind that you have Orbis Advantage recommendations and input and so on? What is the chamber going to do to make sure that it really pulls away from that beleaguered past?
Well, I can only speak for me personally, because I was not there at that time when those decisions were made. Those decisions may have made with all of the best data that they had at that time. But for me personally, I think it comes down to three things. The first one is not remembering what a Chamber of Commerce is supposed to be. Maybe the board and the staff focus a little bit too much on the tourism side rather than on our community and our businesses. That is some of the complaints and concerns that we heard when we started doing our membership recruiting again, is that our businesses felt neglected, and they felt that the chamber wasn't putting their needs first, and that's why they didn't join. I think the other thing is poor financial decisions were made. Like I said, they may have been good for the short term, but in the long term, that has been another factor in us. And then I think the third one is just lack of strategic recruitment and training. And I think this is what I personally would like to see, not just in our county, but just across the state. I think a lot of people would be more aware of what it needs to sit on a board if they had required board training. Their heart may be in the right place, their ideas may be amazing, but sometimes that lack of training causes people to not want to speak up too soon, or it keeps the ball rolling a little bit too slow when you need to be a little bit more quick with the times. So that's just my personal opinion. So one of the things that we've done when we kind of revamped the chamber is we've put a lot of more checks and balances in place, especially in terms of the financial side. All of our
problem on more than one occasion.
Yes,
has it
and
not?
With other organizations. Yes. I mean, that's usually the number one thing for the downfall of nonprofits is lack of financial oversight, checks and balances and whatnot. So all of our bookkeeping is off-site now, and then we don't okay any transactions unless they're
needed.
So
that does actually lead me to a question that I did particularly want to ask you, which is about what is your structure and funding? So let's come back in a minute and come back to exactly what a Chamber of Commerce should be and what this Chamber of Commerce wants to be. But for now, let's just talk on who funds you, how much money do you get, and what is the structure of that? There's a board, which is...
We have a 9-member board.
Yes.
And let me just very quickly touch on one of the things. One of the things that we've done is being very strategic in our recruitment of board members. So we, again, going back to our businesses and to make sure that our board is cohesive, is we've made sure to recruit board members who represent different industries in our county. So we have me, who is kind of from the museum, government, nonprofit background. We have someone who's from the school district. We have someone who's from insurance, someone who's from the banking community. We have someone who's from the retail business. We have someone who is from the attorney lawyer aspect. So we have all of these different industries. So they at least have one voice and one vote on the board.
So this is a Johnson County Chamber of Commerce, not a Buffalo Chamber.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, that's not saying that we have anyone currently from KC on our board. It's we are open. We did have a candidate from outside of town, Richard Tass from the Klondike Ranch. He's very invested in the chamber, and he's excited to be a board member. We just didn't have a position available for him right now. So I hope he is still interested when we have board elections coming up in August, because it would be wonderful to get someone from the ag ranching community on our board again. But in terms of the checks and balances, so one of the things we did, of course, was move everything off-site. And then for our funding, you know, we had to take a leap of faith this summer. Like I said, in parts of all of our restructuring, we didn't have staff in the chamber office for 8 months. And so the board felt, ethically speaking, it was not right to ask our businesses to give membership dues to us when we weren't even sure we could fulfill any benefits
to
them.
So is the board non-executive then? You have a 9-person board.
We do have an executive.
And so the board itself is just directional, or does it actually do any of the work that the chamber wants to accomplish?
Well, as a baby chamber, and because we're back to restructuring and reframing the chamber, the board is a lot more active than it's been in the past. We have board members who are doing bills, Buffalo Bucks, doing some of the administrative side of things that a normal executive director would do. When we hired Pam in August as the membership coordinator, that was our leap of faith. We hadn't had membership dues for a year. We needed income to come in. We needed to see, financially speaking, because the bedrock and the foundation of a chamber is its members. Financially, verbally, marketing-wise, we're not a chamber without our members. So we decided to have Pam focus predominantly on having those one-on-one conversations with our members to hear their concerns, to hear their comments. Because from what all of our research and study and conversations that we had in the restructuring phase the last 2 years, that is what our members want. They have not had a physical contact or feel like they have that we are personally invested in them for too long.
So how many members are we talking about?
I think at the height of the chamber, I believe we had somewhere between 250 and 300, if I'm correct. Correct, Pam?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So we are taking the slow and steady progress. We felt after being closed for 8 months, it wasn't right to just send out all of our membership packets and just expect people to be like, oh, the chamber's open. I just got this letter. They can't even come and see me. So like I said, we're taking the slow and steady progress. So currently we're at 40 members just in the 2 months that Pam and Jess have been at the office, which I think is amazing because that's about 4 or 5 members a week. And then we have another 20 invoiced out who are most likely going to be joining us. And then we're still having those conversations, board members and staff members and whatnot. So we're going with the slow and steady approach.
So you've described a little bit the board structure. You mentioned elections in August. Can anybody come on the board if there's an open spot? How does it work?
So again, getting back to a nonprofit status, the board of directors creates the mission and the vision of the chamber. And then the staff, Pam and Jess, are the ones who implement the day-to-day operations. So we give them tasks. It's their job to move forward in that direction. That's how a healthy nonprofit works. So going back to our bylaws say our members simply have to meet two requirements. The first one is they have to be a business owner in good standing with the chamber. So they have to be a member. Number two is they have to be an employee of a member of the chamber. And we have one individual on our board who is a individual member of the chamber, and that is a category in our membership packet, is that there's some people who are either retired or they're in some type of business that legally cannot be represented on a board. It's usually state, federal, government of some aspect. So that particular board member is an individual, even though they represent, everyone knows where they work.
Okay. So funding.
Yes.
How do you pay your two employees? Where does all your money come from?
Well, currently savings and the membership dues that are coming in. And we also have been supported through COVID funds. Last year we got that. And then we have done some in-kind donations between like Joko First for like some of our events coming up, which I'm excited to talk about that later. But funding is pretty much from the money that we, I guess, quote unquote, inherited when we came on as a board. And then the city was kind enough to help us get the Satellite Information Center on Hart Street open using some leftover 1% funds from a previous year. We didn't spend all of it. They were supportive enough of the chamber to transfer the remaining amount to this summer. So our hope is, being that we kind of quote-unquote officially opened with a functioning permanent staff in September, that, let's see, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, 7 months of a clean budget, meaning that we have a budget that's approved, we're functioning the way that we should be, we have all of our checks and balances in place. The 7 months that the board members have to do, and staff to do, membership drives, a fundraiser, some events, that we will show that we are responsible enough in our money that we can hopefully then go for some 1% funds with the city and Johnson County.
Okay, so at the moment there's no city or county funds other than the little rump of money that the city had given.
Correct.
as a leftover.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
Because we can't ask them to support us if we can't show them that we are being financially responsible with the money. So the slow and steady progress.
Thank you for clearing some of that up. I think lots of people don't really know or understand, and I hope we've covered that sufficiently. You mentioned really about what is the proper role of a Chamber of Commerce. What should it be doing? What does this Chamber of Commerce see as its vision and mission?
We see ourselves as a Chamber of Commerce of supporting, advocating, and marketing our businesses in Johnson County, whether they're entrepreneurs, whether they're small businesses, whether they're, you know, whether they're starting out. We are here to help provide them resources, to give them the opportunities to showcase their business and their skills. And that's what we're working on.
Okay. So where does the line draw? I mean, there's the tourism, there's attracting tourism, and you partly attract tourists because you have a vibrant, thriving, flourishing community. And obviously business plays a big part in that. If there are restaurants and shops and museums and other things that people would like to kind of stop and visit as they're either passing through or coming to visit, what role does the chamber have in reaching further out to attract visitors, and where does Chamber of Commerce just operate for Johnson County?
So one of the things we're focusing on is we are still acknowledging the fact that tourism is a big industry in Johnson County. However, we're not just focusing on them predominantly, which I feel has been the perspective from entities in our county. So we are having conversations with Johnson County Tourism Association and JOCO First about tourism opportunities. Of course, we're still maintaining our billboards that advertise traveling on 16, visiting Buffalo. We're maintaining those. We are in conversations to be a sponsor slash partner with the TA Ranch and the Johnson County Tourism Association. I understand that they are working on bidding to bring Rocky Mountain International Conference here in 2024. One of the things, of course, that we're doing is being an advocate for our businesses for, of course, the 2024 Main Street project that the Wyoming Department of Tourism is doing. In fact, there's a town hall meeting tonight that we are going to start, that we're going to attend so that we can be an ambassador for our businesses, answer any questions that they have, communicate those answers from YDOT to them, and start those town hall meetings and those email conversations and that mailing list. So we are still keeping an eye on tourism, but it's not going to be our predominant focus, which again I think has been the perspective of our community members. We are working on updating our website so we have a business directory and our members listed online, so that when visitors or people who want to move here to Buffalo want to know what businesses are here in town, they can come directly to the chamber and see ourselves as an asset. One of the great things that we started doing is doing a regular, consistent, and constant series of newsletters that Pam and Jess have been working on. One is called the Chamber Chatter, and the other one is called Members to Members, correct? Members to Members, and that one highlights articles that they need for suggestions on how to get through the holiday season, marketing, how to be strategic. Others are just simply event flyers around town that they can help, that we can help promote them for. And then the other thing that we're working on is a written paper business directory that will hopefully be out this spring, so that that can be sent to all of the visitor centers around Wyoming and maybe even further depending on the contract and, you know, what funds we have in our budget, to get people to be, oh, Buffalo, Wyoming, you know, let's go this way. It says it's the fastest way to Yellowstone. Because I think with all of the issues that Yellowstone had this summer with their historic 100-year-old flood, I think we're going to see a lot more tourists this summer than obviously last year, because Yellowstone was closed for a month. I think a lot of people are hopefully going to be rescheduling their events. And that is where, again, all of these little strings that all connect to one another, it also depends on how the Main Street 2024... Well, actually, the 2023 summer, I'm thinking, is going to be good. It's the 2024 summer that we've got to start planning for.
Okay, so great. So we've talked about your two employees.
Mm-hmm.
Pamela, I know you're new to town. Welcome. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do? Or Jennifer, perhaps you want to explain what the two employees do. Are they full-time? What is their...
So Pam is full-time,
yeah,
and Jess is part-time. And Jess was promoted from... she was one of our two summer employees for the visitor center downtown, mainly hitting, getting questions from tourists, giving them directions, getting them an idea of events in town that they can stay for and whatnot. She did such a good job interacting with the tourists that we promoted her to being a part-time membership assistant. So she helps Pam with the follow-ups to all of the contacts and meetings and memberships that Pam is doing. That is her main focus, because we need to get back to our members and our businesses, which is the number one thing that kept coming up in all of our restructuring. Jess is still mainly the front desk person, so she's the first person you'll greet or see when you come into the office. And she is there to keep the office open and function so that Pam has the opportunity to get off-site and do those one-on-one meetings at people's businesses.
And that's a perfect segue. Pam, what do you do all day?
What do I do all day?
Yes, what is your day filled with?
Well, like Jennifer said, I am trying to get out and meet as many business owners and learn about their businesses. I'm new to town. I've only been here 2.5 months. And so as we moved here because we want to invest in the community. And so this is a perfect opportunity to come out and meet the businesses, learn kind of all the special things that they do, learn their history. It's been so cool to hear the history of the town and what these businesses have done over years and years and how they've grown. And then specifically, like Jennifer said earlier, to learn how the chamber can better support and serve our businesses, and taking that feedback to the board, and then we really study that and we work hard on following up and doing what we say we're going to do.
So do you have previous expertise as an executive in a chamber of commerce, or is this new to you?
It's new to me. However, I am a business owner. I've owned my own business for most of my life. And so I come from that other side. Where I moved from, I was involved in the Chamber of Commerce there. And so I come from that other side of how much the Chamber was very supportive and really helped my business. And so that helps me then know maybe how to help.
Absolutely.
Businesses.
And so what are the sort of the tangibles? If there's a business owner who's listening, who thinks, well, maybe, maybe not, what are the tangibles do you think that the Chamber can offer now in Johnson County? What can this chamber offer a business owner?
Honestly, I think a consistent voice.
Mm-hmm.
That
to whom?
Is to being that bridge between other entities, other organizations, and other businesses. And because the board members can only do so much. We're all volunteers. We all work full-time jobs. And we do the best we can, and our hearts are in the right places. But we can't be... It's hard to... make those one-on-one connections with businesses when you're all working the same hours. One of the great things that Pam has been doing is she's been our chamber ambassador to a consistent and constant presence on city council meetings, Johnson County Commissioner meetings, Johnson County Tourism Association meetings, like JOCO First meetings. Like, board members tried our hardest. I tried my hardest to attend those meetings, but at some point you have to realize that your full-time paying job comes first. And it's been, I think that's probably one of the best visual tangibles of having staff in the office, is having that consistent presence in the community and a cohesive presence in the community. Because, you know, it's not one person going to this meeting, one person going to that meeting. And I'm not saying the message was getting gargled, but it's nice to have one consistent person going to those meetings.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
The message is always the same.
Thank you. So you mentioned some things that are coming up. Let's talk about what is happening. I think there's a Christmas button campaign again.
Yes.
Can you just describe, there are a lot of new people in our community, can you describe the Christmas button campaign for somebody who may not have encountered it before and how it works?
So the Chamber button campaign has been something that has always been traditional in our community. And it is a chance to shop local and support our businesses and have fun. And as we all know, small businesses, it's getting harder and harder to sustain them because of all of the conglomerates and corporations. It's, you know, cheaper, affordable, easier. But the advantages of Buffalo, besides our beautiful location, our historic downtown, our history, and the fact that a lot of our businesses are established, I guess, at the same time, is... you know, this, I think one of the things COVID has proven is that patriotism is on the rise, and mom and pop businesses were hurt the most during COVID. And I think the response from the community about shop local, you know, order, you know, takeout, you know, delivery to go from local businesses to keep them running, I think that has proven that there is a need and a want and a desire to keep our mom and pop stores running. So the Shop Local campaign is an opportunity for people to buy a button that costs only $5, either at the Chamber or at supporting businesses around town. There's two businesses in KC that are selling buttons. There are, I believe, 20 businesses in Buffalo that are selling buttons on the Chamber's behalf. So long as your button's visible, either on your backpack, your jacket, your purse, your hat, whatever, you can get some pretty significant discounts at 45 participating businesses just from a $5 button.
So spend $5 and get back or
even
save.
More. Well, and not only do you save money from getting these discounts, but you then get an opportunity to, your button number will then get entered into four drawings throughout the 4 months of the campaign. You have a chance to win $100 1 week, $100 the second week, $200 in the third week, and $300 in the second week. And so if your number gets pulled, let's say you have button, you know, 2,569, that button number will be announced on our social media page, on our website. It will be on the Bank of Buffalo marquee. It will be sent out to Sheridan Media, 307 Net Radio, Buffalo Bulletin, Big Horn Mountain Radio Network, like all of the news entities in town will get the winning number of the week. And it is the person's job to be like, oh, that's my button. I won. And then they come to the Chamber and they get what we call Buffalo Bucks. And Buffalo Bucks is another membership advantage in that it's our gift certificate program. So they would get a check in denominations of 50. So if they win the $100, they would get two $50 checks. And then they could take it to any business in Buffalo, Johnson County, KC, whatnot. And they get to spend that. And then the business cashes the check in. So if they get a $50 check and they spend, you know, $35 at the sports store, because they always have some really sweet stuff at Christmas time, they would get $15 back in cash. The sports store would cash the $50 check. And then that money would then go directly to the sports store.
Okay. Thank you for explaining all of that.
Well, and the fun thing is it allows us to partner. So not only are we partnering with 45 businesses who are graciously offering these discounts, but the Johnson County Arts and Humanities Council sponsored the button coloring contest. So we're really excited to see the six winners that were chosen by the Arts and Humanities Council. That should be somewhere soon. But the overall winner was a homeschooler by the name of Kaden Light, and it is her drawing that is on the buttons that you get to grab
around town. We'll put that. I'll put that up on the website too, and just explain a little bit more about.
Well,
how
and
that
then
works.
The buttons. The proceeds from the buttons help fund the winning money. So, and then the rest of the profit goes back into the Chamber to continue to help supporting our businesses and advocating and marketing for
so
them.
So it's a way of encouraging money to be spent in Johnson County and to stay in Johnson County and to benefit Johnson County.
Yes, because the money is spent here and it stays here.
Yes.
Exactly. So that's the big holiday campaign.
And
that's
so the
going
button,
on.
When can people go and get their buttons?
Well, the buttons are available as of late last week, early this week. So all the buttons should have been distributed around town by now. Okay. So if they go to any business, they can come to the museum, they can go to Gigi, Sportsler, Sagewood, Bank of Buffalo, the Invasion Bar down in KC. There's about 20 places to go.
So you can pretty easily find your button and you stick it on right away and off you go.
Exactly. Okay. Now, the discounts don't start until the day after Thanksgiving. It's kind of a big kickoff.
Okay.
But then for 4 weeks up until pretty much Christmas Eve, people can shop locally and use those discounts.
Okay. Sounds great. So that's the button campaign. Now, there's also a Christmas parade.
Yes. Saturday, December 3rd, everyone's going to be very exhausted by the end of the day. Because Saturday, December 3rd is kind of the big hoorah in Johnson County for Christmas. So, again, it's the first Saturday in December, so December 3rd. Starting at 8 a.m., there will be local businesses who will be doing what is traditionally called the 3-2-1 sale.
Mm-hmm.
That format has changed a little bit over the years due to COVID, so I guess we're going to call it the 10%, 20%, 30% sales. A lot of businesses are going to be open at 8 a.m., and when you come in, you'll have a chance to grab a discount, spin a wheel, whatever format the business chooses this to do, you have a chance to get 10%, 20%, or 30% off your store purchase. So that they usually don't combo discounts with the holiday button. But if you forget something after your 10%, 20%, 30% off sales, you can just come back a different day and still get your discount from your holiday button.
Okay.
So that kicks off at 8 a.m. And then the big thing that we work on, of course, is the chili feed and then our lighted Christmas parade. Everyone loves a lighted Christmas parade. I love it. Even though you're usually freezing your patooties off, you know, huddled around, waiting for a parade that usually only lasts about 30 minutes because it's cold, but everyone loves it and the turnout is fantastic.
So does it have a theme this year?
It is. So our entire holiday campaign is Country Christmas.
Okay.
So the button image reflects that, the parade floats will hopefully reflect that. And the holiday campaign will all reflect that. So Country Christmas, we encourage people, if they want to participate in the parade, to decorate their float, lighted, of course, because it's going to be dark. The parade's at 6 p.m. to celebrate what they think Country Christmas is. Is it, you know, driving in the backwoods? Is it cross-country skiing? Is it going to go pick out your own Christmas tree up in the Bighorn Mountains so you can decorate it? Is it, you know, huddled on the fire, you know, at your family ranch while you're playing board games? Is it going caroling on some of the back roads? Or is it what we call the country dances that used to happen way back when? You know, what is your idea of Country Christmas? Float entries are $15 for nonprofits and members of the chamber, and it's $30 for individuals or commercial businesses and non-members.
And I'll put up a link to the application form. When is the deadline?
So the deadline is going to be Tuesday, November 29th, I believe is the date.
Mm-hmm. Little time.
Mm-hmm. So it's about 3 or 4 days before the parade. So you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the parade is that Saturday. So I'm not saying that we're not going to take last-minute floats if applications come in later, but we can't always guarantee that you're going to have the best
spot. And are there any rules about floats, what kind of floats there can be? Do you have any?
We do have 6 specific categories that your float entries have to fall in. One, of course, is commercial, which represents all of our businesses. Our adult organizations, this would be like your Pioneer Car Club, your Radio Hams, your Steel Drum Band. We've got youth organizations, which would be your 4-H'ers, your FFAs, your Boy Scouts, your Johnson County Royalty Queens, and then we've got our adult individuals. These are people who just, you know, we had some really cool old vehicles last year. We had a really nice gentleman that had this really awesome old tractor that he just wanted in the parade. So that would be an example of your adult individual. And then our church category. We've had some churches in the past who really want to celebrate the Christmas season, and so they do a float in the Christmas parade. And then our 6th candidate is what we call our political candidates. I don't feel we're going to get a lot of those this year now that the election is done, but those are the 6 categories that the floats need to fall into. And then the one, of course, is do not judge. These are just ones who just want to do the parade for fun reasons, and, you know, they don't really care if they get judged or not, and so they just click that and they go by.
And has somebody had a word with Santa to tell him that he needs to be here too?
Yeah, it's hard to find a Santa this time of year because he's usually so busy. That's one of the things that we need to work on, but that is our hope that Santa will make an appearance. Sometimes we have a multitude of Santas and sometimes we don't have some Santas. It just depends on who signs up. So like I said, you can get the forms now at the chamber. You can download them from our website. You can drop them off at the chamber. Those proceeds also go back into the chamber to continue to fund operations. And what's really cool is everyone has a blast. You know, the chili feed is from 4 to 6 at Crazy Woman Square. Gives you a chance to get some hot cider or some hot chocolate from the Buffalo Lions Club. It's a chance to get some chili from participating businesses around town. We have some fabulous volunteers who do it year after year after year, and so they're spearheading that effort. We've got Alicia Kozacek from State Farm, who's bringing back her s'more stands, and Unwind is interested in putting out like some mulled wine and stuff, so where it's going to be a great time to celebrate the holidays, rest your feet after all of the shopping that you're doing, get warm from the hot cocoa and the cider and the wine and the chili, and then enjoy the parade.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Is, if everyone doesn't know, especially if you've just moved here, it's a much shorter parade than the Fair and Rodeo parade. So that one in the summer starts from South Bypass Road and goes all the way to First Interstate Bank. This one is because, you know, sometimes it's been negative 20, sometimes the wind's really bad, sometimes it's balmy and you're wearing, you know, a pea coat because it's that hot, which is incredibly rare, but much appreciated. This route, the lineup starts at Przysinski Park. We come up Angus, turn left on Main Street, and it's pretty much from First Northern Bank to Fort Street, which is where we turn left, and then the police either direct us to Klondike or Burritt.
Okay.
So it's just that short little route.
Okay.
But it's just perfect.
Thank you very much. And is there anything else that's coming up that you might point to?
Yes. So we are working on a fundraiser. We're really excited about that. We're still finalizing all of our logistics, but if you've been really pleased with the direction that the chamber is going, but you're like not a business or you just really want to just come and have fun, be on the lookout for that fundraiser. It should be coming in late January, early February. Like I said, they're still finalizing the date, but it's going to be a dance fundraiser with a silent and live auction, and then food is being determined right now. So it's going to be a slightly different format. And we're just really excited to continue to put the chamber out there and be available to have people ask us questions on the direction. And then the other thing that we just decided on is the Small Business Expo. This has been a major benefit to support and promote some of our cottage businesses, our small businesses that maybe don't have a storefront or need. It's a great way to not only be aware of the business, so for marketing purposes or visual presence in the community, it's a chance to sell products that people may not be aware of, especially for those that have been moving here over the last couple of years due to COVID and wanting to get out of the city. We're still finalizing the date. Like I said, we just decided yesterday at our board meeting to do it. But be on the lookout for that. That information will start coming out after the holidays.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Well, it's good to see the chamber back up and running. How do people get in touch with you? You're on Main Street. What's the address on Main Street? Can you walk in anytime? You open all week?
You want to go over
it's
the hours?
55 North Main, mm-hmm. Yes. And we are open Tuesday through Friday, Monday by appointment, Friday afternoon by appointment from 9 to 4, basically.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anything else that you would like people to know before we wrap up?
Just thank you for the opportunity to get the chamber out there, and we'll keep you updated on consistent news and procedures and events and stuff that we're working on.
Well, thank you, Pamela Day and Jennifer Romanowski from the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for spending some time with 307 Net Radio this morning.
Thank you as well.
Thank you very much.